Valley of Famine contains mature content and adult language. Check the show notes for specific content warnings. Hello and welcome, listeners, to the Rogue Valley Roleplayers. My name is Ben. I'm here with Nick, Austin, Ed, and Rosemary, and we're ready to play another session of Valley of Famine. Once again, my name is Ben. I am the marshal tonight, running the shindig, doing all that good stuff.
Hello, I'm Nick. I'm playing Haru Matsuhara, the samurai who is about to get a stern talking to.
And I'm Austin, playing Herod Graves, a broken man that the darkness should fear.
I'm Ed, and I am playing the widow, Daisy Graves.
My name is Rosemary, and I play the deputy, Rachel Jane Kennedy. She's a hexlinger.
In kind of an uncharacteristically warm moment, he steps up to you, Haru, and kind of places a hand on your shoulder when Rachel's sort of walking a bit ahead of you and sort of turns you around a little bit and just says, "I was wrong, Haru. People are not replaceable." And then he releases your shoulder and just kind of walks off towards the town, leaving you alone with Rachel.
Yeah, you know, who knows what tomorrow brings.
Rachel, I don't... You can see that he's struggling, he's...
I think what Rachel's gonna do, she's gonna go. Look, I know we need to talk about what you said on the airship.
Tell her you were wrong and that you were a dumbass, because you were.
Rachel, I don't know how to deal with my current state very well. If you haven't noticed, it's kind of depressing.
I've noticed.
But every time I'm with you and you're with me, my world gets a little better.
I don't know why you're so depressed. I'm a lot of fun to hang out with.
Look, Haru. I don't want you to worry about us. Malcolm is just a friend. One who kidnapped me when we first met, which seems kind of odd. But a friend, nevertheless.
Well, hearing that makes what I'm about to do much easier. Although I feel like you've had a lot on your shoulders. So I don't expect a response immediately. But I think it is custom to, and he drops down on one knee.
Oh, shit. And Rachel looks pretty surprised.
Pulls out a ring from his pocket. You are my life, my heart, and my soul. You give my life meaning. And I can feel like I can conquer anything when I'm with you. We may die tomorrow. I may live 1,000 years. But as long as I can have you in my life, I want it in my life. I know you've had a bad luck with husbands in the past. But I'd like to be a good one for you. And he, tries to take your hand and...
Yeah, I think Rachel definitely lets you take her hand, and I think she's starting to kind of cry silently throughout the speech, and she says, "I can't imagine life without you in it, either."
So he slides the ring on her finger, and well,
I think
we are, but let us take.
Does this mean that Lazarus and I are?
Oh yes, it does. Let me take over. It's my turn to propose. She's marrying the both of us.
And she's like, "Oh no."
You see Haru going, "No, no."
Take the ring off her finger. It's my turn.
No.
That's okay. I prepped one while you were asleep.
Don't wait for the wedding night.
Rachel, there's no one I'd rather murder with than with you.
Yeah, come on, move over. It's my turn.
We can delay the announcement until we get everything.
We haven't done the full proposal yet. Move over.
No.
Yes.
This is my moment, not yours.
It's both our moments, Haru. We share this cadaver.
You tell that demon to give us space, so help me God.
No.
Please give us space.
No.
Okay, well, I tried.
I
reach into your left pocket. You'll find my ring.
Oh, God.
It's still got a human finger on it.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I've been waiting for this moment too. I'm pissed off that you're not letting me make my proposal.
I agree that maybe we should wait until everything's, I don't know, gone back to somewhat normal. It seems like people have a lot to deal with right now.
By the way, the ring has with Japanese characters in it that inscription says, "You are my life, my heart, my soul."
I don't think Rachel can read Japanese, so she looks at that inscription probably, and this is beautiful.
What does it say?
Yeah, what does it say?
"You are my life, my heart, my soul." It's more poetic in Japanese, but
I would like to see your home country with you one day.
I would love to take you there. Unfortunately, due to my current circumstances, I do not want to go home.
Fair enough.
So yeah, we make it back to the sheriff's office.
You make it back to the sheriff's office.
Rachel is both elated now and devastated. That's a weird combination of emotions.
All right, so some time goes by. You get the town cleaned up. The townsfolk return. After Alicia sleeps for like 2 days straight, she recovers enough to go back to work on the portal.
What does Daisy want with Jonathan?
Yeah.
I got to find out this. Yeah. I'm curious.
Probably initially what's happening is, you know, everyone leaves Daisy alone down in with the machine.
A great idea for someone who's just lost her husband.
Well, and that's it. Like, all of a sudden, like, Elysian was helping her, like, keep her distracted, but no one's there. And she just gets to that point where she's trying to figure something out, and just grief overcomes her. She's just like, just starts, you know, lets it all out, starts bawling, and, like, crawls over to the cot and cries herself to sleep that day.
I have a feeling over those couple of days, definitely we would be checking on her, so...
And she would have woke up, like, when she wakes up, she's going to want to eventually be like, okay, I got to go see Jonathan's body.
I think probably, maybe, at some point on that day, that same day, Herod, you go back down to check on Daisy, because, you know, she's been by herself for a while, and you see her just curled up on the cot in there.
I think that he will kind of wait by the door, kind of pull out some of his notes and start reading through them, just trying to pass the time, waiting for her to wake up. He doesn't want to wake her up.
You're trying to decipher her notes?
She's yeah.
He's a heavy sleeper.
He's pulling some of her notes quietly and trying to make sense of them and having no luck whatsoever.
Make a Lumerian roll.
Knowledge Lumerians.
Yeah.
He subconsciously like reaches out his pen to like mark out the word Lumerian, and then realizes that if he does that, it loses most of the context of the rest of the sentence.
No, her notes are, it's, I don't know, like she might really not mention the Lumerians so much there.
Uh-huh. But you're mentioning like Talos. And...
Yeah, because she's definitely like in trying to find a way to get into Talos. So.
Uh-huh. And just a lot of like speculation about what you would find there, what you got there, kind of thing, I'm guessing. But yeah, he'll wait for Daisy to just kind of naturally wake up later. He doesn't want to wake her up.
Yeah, you probably do wake up after a couple of hours. It's, you know.
Yeah, it was more of a, like, wow, just emotionally exhausted kind of nap.
Yeah. And you see Herod standing by the door, frowning at your notes.
It's dark down here. I've been down for a moment. Good morning, Herod.
Hello, Daisy. Did you get
it's
some
not
sleep?
Morning, though, is it?
Yeah. No, it's not morning. Yeah. It's probably evening.
At this point, she doesn't know.
Yeah, you have no idea.
Hello, Daisy. Did you get some sleep?
Yeah, I was exhausted.
We took Jonathan up to the graveyard. He has not yet been buried. Did you have any requests?
Quest. Well, we talked about this and we mostly just joked about, yeah, what would you do when I died? You know, and I told him.
He winces.
You know, I always wanted him to take my ashes, burn my body, and spread my ashes across the top of Mount Shasta. Yeah, he didn't want nothing that fancy.
What did he want?
He just wanted a regular old funeral. All the townspeople there. We joked we could pretend like he was harrowed, you know. And, yeah, play with his body like hey, look, he's still alive.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Herod just
we
holds,
are not doing that.
He holds his head up to his hand up to his head, and just, you can tell he's developing a headache, just this yeah. very conversation.
But yeah, she's like, we are not doing that.
I will bury him tomorrow and just try to get some rest, would you?
What about the rest of your family? Is there a way that they should know?
As far as I know, I don't have any other family. That was it.
He's the only family I had left.
No brothers or sisters?
Nope. I was an only child. My mom died when I was young or in childbirth or something.
How can you not remember something like that?
I don't know, all that weird science. I sent Ben in an email, I think, you know, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, we all know what happened to my father.
I'm sorry for that.
It had to happen.
I was so used to losing everything that I think I told myself there was nothing left to lose. Then fate proved that wrong.
Yeah. There's still stuff to lose.
Daisy, I'm sorry for being so rude to you so many times. I know it's not your fault. He lets that hang in the air as if that's self-explanatory. Yeah. I've heard of a tradition, which I do not intend to follow, in which a brother is supposed to marry his bereft sister-in-law And I'm not going to follow that, Daisy, because I would strangle you myself within the first week.
Oh, good. Because mostly that's because, you know, women ain't got much in the world here. And everyone knows I don't need a man to take care of me. I'm rich.
I don't actually say that.
No, that was a good line. That was a very good line.
Keep that in.
Yeah, his headache immediately comes back. I don't know where I'm going with this, except to say that if you need something, I suppose we're family.
That we are. We're family. Rachel's part of our family. Haru's part of this family. We've been through a lot together. Jonathan should have fled with the rest of the town. But he wanted to stay with me, and he wanted to protect this town. And that's what he did.
He certainly did. It was brave.
Or stupid.
He was always getting into trouble when we were kids, you know. I had to bail him out all the time. I wish I could have done it this time, but I was too far away. I'm sorry. I should have been there.
I was right there, and there was nothing I could have done.
All right. Yeah, so I think, you know, the camera kind of zooms out as, you know, Daisy and Herod have a genuinely, like, kind conversation to each other. There's some unintentional digs in there. I don't think Herod can completely avoid it. But
yeah, the scene fades to black on this somber moment. And then, yeah, some time goes by. We see the people of Jacksonville returning to their homes and businesses. I don't know if you've necessarily dismantled the Jacksonville Inn, but you've definitely cleaned it out. You also can't destroy it just yet, even if you really, really want to, because this is where the machine is located at, and you get the sense that you can't really move it from here, and you probably shouldn't.
It's kind of big, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Once Elysian recovers, she sleeps for like 2 days straight, and then goes immediately back down there to start working on the machine with Daisy. We do have a brief funeral scene where we see Cain lowered into the ground, no coffin at all, given completely back to the earth as he requested from Edgar Pittman. And we see Jonathan being lowered into the ground in what kind of a coffin are we? Is it just something simple? And
probably not just a simple, like, pine box kind of thing. Something, you know, he's the mayor, so the nicest coffin we can get on this notice.
Okay. Yeah, Edgar Pittman has a couple of different kinds of coffins that he keeps, like, in stock. That he provides for. The headstones will take some time. Those are not short notice deals. But yeah, everyone's gathered together. You know, it probably takes a couple days just so people can get back into town to find out what has happened. You know, it was their mayor. People want to attend his funeral. So there's a bit of a crowd there for both Ross and Jonathan. But then the dead are buried, and life goes on. Probably about 2 weeks after the Battle of Jacksonville, Elysian and Daisy kind of excitedly gather the posse together. Where are you meeting at?
The claim.
Probably the claim, yeah. Okay. That seems to be our spot.
Yeah. Probably a back room in the claim, like a private room or something. Elysian nervously kind of explains it took some time and some doing, but we managed to reverse engineer the gate, so it will actually do what I intended it to do.
which is to open a portal between our world and the next. So if you wanted to go through, you could. There's a bit of a catch, though. It still has to run off the condensed fear, and there's only enough left for one activation.
When you say one activation, you mean there's no way to come back?
You'd have to find some other way. And without extreme measures, I have no way of creating more condensed fear. And to be entirely honest, those devices are probably best destroyed.
We need to end this. We need to end Malak once and for all.
I mean, I don't disagree, but I also don't want to spend eternity trapped in hell. There's no way that we can find something else to power this machine?
Not without, I don't know, years, decades of work and research. At this point, it's all theoretical.
Daisy, surely you've got some crazy device or something, that a battery from, God help me, I can't believe I'm actually saying this, the Lemurians?
Well, we would have to get into the city of Thalos to find one.
I don't know what I expected.
I've been there once, and they taught me knowledge, but I didn't come home with anything other than how to, you know, convert ghost rock energies into
Why
death.
Are you feeding her delusions?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
At this point, Hera, with everything that we've seen and dealt with, I am more than willing to give a pass at the Lemurians.
But maybe if we go, you know, into these hunting grounds and we find a way, maybe there's something there.
Well, that's a big maybe.
Well, Malak has been able to manifest himself in our world. Maybe he has something.
It's not good enough for me. I am willing to go into that portal and die if I have to, but you still have a life to live. We must have a better plan. Simple as that. Half measures won't do. I want the problem to be solved. I want that demon's head on a platter. So we have to do it right. Now, Alishan, this fear gathering, you said that it was perhaps unethical?
I don't think there's any perhaps about it. It is outright unethical.
We can't ask for donations in some way, or I don't...
She gives you a horrified look and then just says, how?
I don't know. Perhaps it could absorb some from a war zone. He's trying to brainstorm.
All that would take time, and this machinery is not exactly portable.
Herod, it's a bad idea. People have suffered too much. We don't want to cause more suffering.
That sounds like what you need is a guide.
Are you asking what I think you're asking?
I ain't asking nothing. I'm just putting out a possibility.
A guide through the hunting lands, but we're trying to find a way back as well?
Well, I've been living here for quite some time. I know a thing or two. Visited a place. I'm not always here tormenting you 24. Okay, well, it feels like that sometimes, but I've been around. And us being trapped together in the hunting grounds would be amusing for a decade or two, but it would get pretty boring. So I have motivation for you to successfully escape the hunting grounds.
What's he saying?
Because you can see Haru's face looking over, kind of going, like, shrugging his shoulders, tapping his forehead.
It does mean that y'all will need me for more than just keeping your ugly cadaver upright and moving. Which does seem like a pretty important service I already provide.
Lazarus is reminding me that as a demon of the hunting grounds himself, he can act as a guide. And he knows of a location?
I know of a couple. Some are more dangerous than others. Not without risk.
Some are dangerous. More so than others.
Oh yeah, they're all dangerous.
What's to keep him from leading us to our deaths?
Boredom.
You're all much more entertaining alive than dead. Tell him.
He says we're more entertaining alive than dead.
I guess that's comforting.
The way he's been lately, I mean, obnoxious, yes, but and murder happy. Yes.
Oh, come on. When's the last time I actually murdered someone?
I haven't let you.
Exactly. Oh, wait. That was not arguing my favor.
But we need something. And him being a native there, I hate to say it, but we need Lazarus.
I've been waiting so long for you to say those words.
Rachel sighs, but she says, I trust you if you think that's a good idea.
Now, this does not mean you get your moment.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, nice holding up the halo with the demon horns there, Lazarus.
I refuse to acknowledge what you're insinuating.
So there's an important piece of information I feel like I'm missing at this point. Is the valley still covered in like this weird effect where we can't leave? No.
I had forgotten about that. So... Probably a few days earlier, Marshall Redgrave returned and said, hey, I was able to get out. Whatever this effect is you were talking about, it's lifted, it's gone. At this point, 2 weeks in, Annie Oakley and Professor Fitzgerald and Gregory have left to return to their own homes, especially after Sylvia Redgrave came back and reported that, like, hey, you can leave the valley now, so they're heading back out.
I just had an interesting thought. Like, during those 2 weeks, I think Rachel would have gone through Kane's desk and his house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how large was his house?
His house was a shack out in the woods.
Then never mind. I was going to say maybe Rachel's sister and family moves into his house, but...
No. It's like, you've been there before. It's not even, like, weatherproof. So you go through Kane's stuff in his desk. You do not find the artifact you were looking for, the Staff of Aaron. You find a couple of handwritten journals in his desk. The first one you open is all written in Hebrew and Yiddish. And unless you happen to have that on your character sheet as a language you speak, you don't know any of it. You don't recognize any of it.
No, maybe she, picks out a word or two that Ross would have shown her, at, like, in casual conversation or something, but she does not speak Hebrew or Yiddish. Yeah, so
it's all gibberish. There's some diagrams in there that you're just like, I don't know what to make out of this. They don't have the frame of reference. The other handwritten journal, though, looks like an exact copy, but written in English, and it's all of Kane's monster lore.
Sweet. She will definitely carefully wrap that in, a cloth and keep it with her. I don't want to lose that book.
Okay.
That was in his desk, you said?
That was in his desk.
Okay. Any luck at his home?
I think the only other thing of note worth mentioning that was amongst Kane's possessions is his cutlass.
Yeah, she'll also take that to keep in, like, his memory.
Okay.
Maybe, in fact, she might hang it above the door.
Of the sheriff's office?
Of the sheriff's office.
Okay, yeah. But you do not find the staff, and you don't find anything else of note. Coming back to the meeting, I think Malcolm will speak up and say, so what exactly is the plan here? We fire up this portal, go kill a demon, and then hope we get back?
Yep.
Yep.
This is a horrible plan.
Great plan. Fantastic plan.
Even if we don't get back, Malcolm, we gotta do what we gotta do to help everyone.
No,
keep
I,
this from happening.
I understand.
And as long as I have my friends and Rachel by my side, I will do anything to protect these people.
Locke, you should stay here. You're hurt. So that you would be no good to us.
Well, you all said this is the thing that was pulling old Flint's strings, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I got a bone to pick with that motherfucker. Seeing as he took both my trigger fingers. So, I'm in this. I may be wounded, but I ain't useless. Not yet. About that moment, there's a knock on the door to the back room.
Who is it?
Ah, my friends. I come on behalf of my mistress. You hear the voice of Tantalus, the master of ceremonies.
I think Herod will motion to the others to prepare their weaponry in case this is trouble. And then he will lead the way outside, holding his Gatling pistol by his side.
Well, you open the door to the back room first, and you see Tantalus standing there, his fat body squeezed into whatever suit he's wearing. He gives you all a broad smile and says, quite some trouble you had up here a few weeks ago.
Are you here to bring more?
He smiles again widely and says, of course not. In fact, my lady has only your best interests in heart. She has an offer to make that I think you will find most helpful.
Couldn't send herself?
Well, she is far too important to send messages. That is why I serve her. As my function, of course.
I take it we are to meet her to find out what she has to offer.
Yes, that is very accurate. A good assessment, Mr. Matsuhara.
She did say that Moloch had pulled away and was being, what's the word she used?
Treasonous? Overambitious?
The last time we accepted an invitation from your lady, she attacked us and tried to kill us.
Now, I think that is an unfair interpretation. After all, Moloch sent his minions, and there would have been a great deal of collateral damage had they been permitted to run amok. Rather, my lady guided them to one location and brought you together so that they could be dealt with a minimum loss. In fact, no loss of innocent life. Quite, in fact, counter to her interests, I might add, as such a slaughter would have been... Oh...
At this point, I think Wynon is going to grab this fat man by his lapels and just pull him right up to his face. Does your lady value your life? Because I certainly don't.
And what exactly would you do, Mr. Graves?
I haven't decided yet. How would you like to die?
I suggest you put me down and we go speak with my Lady Famine.
Shall I put him down?
You don't actually have him lifted up. Like, you go to yank him forward, and, like, he is heavy. He's dense.
All right. Well, he pulls himself closer to look at him.
Yeah, that's more how it goes.
So let's do that. Shall I release him, or...
I think it'd be for your best interest, why not? Or Herod?
Yeah, he does. Seeing that his attempt at a threat was rebuffed.
Yeah, Tantalus takes a step back, kind of adjusts his outfit, gives you another large grin, licks his lips, and then turns to lead the way.
Oh, so we're going now.
Yes, my lady would like to speak with you all now.
We'll be back, Elysian.
Okay, I will be with the device getting ready.
Malcolm, you wait here with her?
I think I'll come along with all of you. This, Lady Rab sounds interesting and terrifying.
Deadlands and Savage Worlds are the property of Pinnacle Entertainment Group. All content is used unofficially under the Savage Media Network license. Find more of their great products at peginc.com. Sound effects are by Plate Mail Games and BattleBards. Music by the Eaglestone Collective and Danheim. You can find links to all of the above in the show description. As always, thank you for joining us for this episode. If you've enjoyed this, please consider leaving a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever else you listen. Thank you once again, and we'll catch you next time.